First John chapter 5. It is a real joy to be here this morning. This is, other than my church, it's one of my favorite places to preach. But I'm thankful that God's given me the opportunity. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us, to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Father, we ask you today to touch us afresh and anew. We realize today we are absolutely nothing in and of ourselves. We realize that the Holy Ghost does not do a work, does not overshadow this place, does not manifest his presence, then all is vain. I pray today, dear God, when we leave this place, we can say it's been good to be in the house of God, and that we've heard from heaven. We've heard from everybody else under God's Son in this world, but may we hear from you. God, may we do what you tell us to do, and we'll praise you. If it be one here today that's lost and undone without you, may you do that eternal work. I pray, dear God, that you'd give them an understanding. You'd enlighten them. You'd draw them unto yourself. God, you'd save them before it's everlasting too late. For that child of God that's here today, I pray that you'd touch them. Lord, that's traveling through the valley, that's going through many turmoils and tests and trials. I pray, dear God, that you'd remind them afresh and anew that your grace is amazing. It's there, and it'll get them through it. I pray, dear God, today for that one that may be here that does not that does have doubt. I pray, dear Lord, you'd remove it. I pray that something will be said to help them. We'll praise you and we'll thank you now for what you do, design and unction and a touch from thee once again. In Jesus' bloodstained name we do pray and we do ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I believe with all my heart and with all my soul that as we look through the Word of God, God gives us some things that we need to be assured of. And we need to be aware of. One of the greatest days in my life was when the Holy Ghost convicted my soul, arrested me, handcuffed me, and brought me to the Father. I am thankful today for the saving grace of God. I am thankful today that God's grace is the only thing that will save you. And I am thankful today there's nothing I can do to take care of that. It's already been taken care of. As we come this morning and look to the precious Word of God, we are reminded that God wants us to know some things. I believe that we need to be reminded of where God brought us from, and we need to be reminded of the simplicity of the plan of salvation and God's salvation. All the way through the Word of God, it's known as salvation is of the Lord. I believe with all my heart that we are living in this 21st century and we are living in a generation of this century that men are urged to be saved before they know they are lost. They are urged to be saved before they believe without being convicted of their need. You are listening to a preacher this morning that believes that God does not do that work, it won't get done. I believe with all my heart and with all my soul the fruit is picked before it is ripe, and of course the work is bound to come undone. As we look this morning in the Word of God, if we get to the Holy Spirit's fruit, then God must prepare the ground. If we get to Him, then God must do the plowing. If we get to Him, then God has to show us what we really are. It makes no difference how much of a head knowledge you have. It makes no difference how much you may think you know about this Bible. If God has not done that work in your heart, you'll die and go to a devil's hell, believing you're headed to heaven. I'm thankful this morning that as we look into the Word of God, we find that God gives us some assurance, and thank God we can have that only from Him. It is right to tell people today to believe when God has done His work in their hearts, but first they must feel their need. I believe with all my heart, and let us wait till the Spirit of God has done His part before we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I believe as we look in the Word of God this morning, see the first sign of conviction, as is in the case of the Philippian jailer. And when his anguish was so deep that they were forced to cry aloud, what must I do to be saved? I believe this morning that God has to do that work, and God has to establish the fact that you are a hell-bound sinner deserving to die and go to a devil's hell. I believe this morning that there's nothing that I can do to impress God. There's nothing I can do to get to God except that blessed Holy Ghost, where some people don't even know what I'm talking about, have never even experienced that, and never even had an eye-opening of what the Holy Ghost's job is. Thank God He will convince you. He will convict you. He will draw you, and He will guide you, and He will bring you to the saving grace of God. I believe this morning that we are preaching to people all over this country that are sitting on church pews that have a head knowledge, but their heart has never been drawn to God, and they do not know the personal Savior. They know the language. They speak the language. They can tell you the plan of salvation, but they cannot tell you for sure that they belong to God Almighty. I believe this Bible tells us today that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've been born into the family of God. I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning on a no-so salvation. As we look into the Word of God, we find that the Apostle John is penning these precious words under the divine inspiration of a holy God. As he breathes these words and comes through his pen and he writes them down, one of his favorite expressions is no. And we know, and we know, and we know. Thank God as we begin to look at that word, we find out that it means to comprehend. It means that we realize. It means that we get to the point. It means we get it not only in our head, but in our heart. It means that we have a grasp of. We've been enlightened, and it's come to the time that we can say that we possess it, and thank God have learned it by heart and have stored it up. Thank God, I'm glad this morning as we look in the Word of God that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've been born into His family. Verse 13 says in 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm thankful for what Peter says. He says, wherefore the Father, brethren, has given diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. We are told in Corinthians, and we are told in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 that we are to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, and to prove your own selves. Know ye not that yourselves have that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. In other words, He says you examine it, you prove it, you try it. Don't you will be rejected. It makes no difference how many men receive you. It makes no difference how many churches receive you. It makes no difference how many people receive you. If you've been rejected by Jesus Christ, you are out in the cold. But I'm thankful there's a time that I knelt down, hallelujah, by the convicting hand of God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, not by my will, but by the will of the Father, not by this flesh, but praise God for what He's done. I'm thankful this morning that I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I belong to the Heavenly Father. I'm thankful this morning that God has no grandchildren. Thank God I'm glad this morning that I'm a child of the King. I'm thankful, glory be unto God, that I've been redeemed. I'm thankful this morning that God did not pass me by. I'm thankful that He done a work in my heart, and He done that for me which no one else could do. I'm thankful, thank God, that He just didn't stop at the courthouse, but He came to my heart, and He done a work in it, and He picked me up, and He set me on solid ground. Praise God, there's some things I don't know, but one thing I do know, I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't claim to know it all, but what little I do know is enough to get me by. I'm thankful this morning. Thank God that I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I belong to Him. Now let me say to you that when John penned these words, thank God he wrote 5 books of the New Testament. As he penned the Gospel of John, we looked in that Gospel and we find that it was to convince sinners. You will never be saved until you are convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will never be saved until you realize that Jesus Christ is God. And so John writes that to prove His deity and to show His deity. But John says, I've got some little children. God's got some little children and they need to be comforted. Got some little children and they need some assurance. And so he gives us 3 books called 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. As he writes these 3 books, he gives us assurance. Each one has a theme. But John's epistles is to confirm the saints. Glory be unto God. I want you to know I've been convinced as a sinner, and I've been confirmed as a saint. And then we read that book of Revelation. God, don't change it. We'll get in that a little bit tonight. But we read the book of the Revelation, and we see the comfort of the sufferers. Thank God I'm glad today to report to you that He's a comforting God. I'm glad to report to you that I know not only that I'm saved, but thanks be unto God, I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. Yes, He gives us that record. 1 John 5, 11, 12, 13, and 14. He talks about that record. And he says this record is eternal life. If you don't believe in the eternal security of the believer, you're calling God a liar. And I'm going to tell you, I'd call anybody a liar before I'd call God a liar, because God cannot lie. God has sealed it and God sealed it and God's put it in my heart. John's gospel was written that we might believe and have life. John 20, 31. The epistles were written that we might have fellowship and fullness of joy. 1 John 1, 3 and 4. And the revelation was written that we might know what's going to take place hereafter. I'm going to tell you something, this world's in a mess. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, God is going to come back and take us out of it. We are not appointed to the wrath of God, but we are appointed to make yonder on the other side to step off into glory and to lay this body down. Thank God there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. I'm going out into eternity and shout it while the ages roll. Glory be unto God. I've got something that's cranked up on the inside of me. I've got something, glory be unto God, that I can shout about. I've got something this morning, thank God, that He gave me. I've got something, thank God, that cannot be taken away from me. I'm eternally secure. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. I bless His name. I praise Him. Bless God, you don't get this at a ball game. I'm telling you, the blessed Holy Ghost can overshadow us, and He can do that with me. Praise God, I'm glad I know. This first epistle of John is a book of certainties. We really could say it's certainties in the midst of uncertainties. There's some things I may not know, and there's some things I'm uncertain about. But I do know I'm His, and I'm certain for one thing, His grace will be sufficient. This little book builds a sure foundation for the believer's faith. This little word, no, it's mentioned or the equivalent no less than 36 times in this book alone. Thank God, I'm glad this morning that God tells us we can know we're saved. Oh yes. Now there's five classes of people. One class of people is those that are saved and know it. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed against that day. Thank God, I'm glad this morning that I'm in that crowd that knows. I'm in that crowd, glory be unto God, that doesn't question God. I'm in that crowd that's got it nailed down, not because of what I've done, but because I believe the blessed Word of God. I'm in that crowd this morning that knows that we know. Peter says, Brother David, to stir up your mind by way of remembrance. Thank God, I've been stirred up because I remember where I was. I remember where God brought me from. I remember, thank God, what He's done for me. Don't you let the devil sit on your shoulder and tell you you don't know, you can't know you're saved. Tell him to go on home where he belongs. There's another crowd. Those who think they are saved but are not. Proverbs 14:12, it's in the book. There's a way which seemeth right to man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Anytime you go, if you don't have the Son, you're lost. That's what the book says. He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son abideth in death. So there's a crowd that think they are, but they're lost. Then there's the crowd who claims to be saved and know they're not. There's a crowd that Titus talks about. Verse 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Could I use this term? Rejected. God is not pleased with man's works. From Genesis to Revelation, you will find that God never accepts man's work for way of redemption. You've got this crowd that says you're saved by works in the Old Testament, saved by grace in the New Testament, saved by grace in the first three chapters of Revelation, and saved by grace again after the millennium. But I want to tell you this morning, there's never been a child, there's never been a man, there's never been a woman that stood before God or will stand before God in any dispensation. There's seven of them, but there's never been one that can stand and say, I'm here because of my own merits. It's always been by the grace of God. It's always been grace bringing me safe thus far. It'll be grace that takes me the rest of the way. But you got a crowd out there that says, we're saved by our good works. We're saved by what we do. Problem with that, the Bible condemns it and puts it in hell. For He never recognized the fig leaves of Adam and Eve. He never recognized their works. And He will never recognize yours. So there's a crowd that claims to be. There's a crowd that professes to be. But they are not. Then there are those who have a cardinal assurance based on mere head knowledge of the plan of salvation. These people will miss hell by about 18 inches. Unless God has put it in your heart. Unless the Holy Ghost has birthed you into the family. Unless God has troubled your spirit. Unless you've gotten sick of your sin. Unless you realize you are a sinner. Unless you get to the place you said, I need help, I cannot do it myself. Until you turn loose of all of that and grab hold of all of Him, then you will never be born into the family of God. I'm not trying to confuse you this morning. I want you to make your calling and election sure. I want you, when you leave this place today, if you came in here with a little doubt, thank God it'll be buried and pushed away. And you'll go out of here knowing that you've overcome, that you are an overcomer, that you have victory in Jesus Christ, the precious Lord. God doesn't want us like termites in a yo-yo, my brother. God wants us to be settled. That's not being boastful and prideful on ourselves. It's boasting on the Word of God. John 5:24. The Word of God is the starting place for testing every spiritual matter. I want to tell you something this morning. The fifth crowd is those who simply lack assurance. I'm a pastor as your pastor's a pastor. My heart goes out to my people. My heart goes out to you. No doubt in a crowd this size here this morning, there's probably some of you sitting here that fit one of these five categories. I know there's some here that's saved and know you're saved. I know that there's some here today that may have a little doubt. They need a little assurance and what have you. But I believe with all my heart, these other three in between that, if you're here and you're in that category, I'm glad that the great God of heaven can knock you off of your stool. I'm glad, thank God, He can bring you down off of your high horse. I'm thankful, hallelujah, that He can humble you down, that you throw up the flag of surrender and says, "Dear God, save me." I want to try to be a help to you this morning. For the next few minutes, let me give you seven things. And my daughter looked at me last night and she says, "No way." But let me give you seven things this morning on how I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I know that I know that I know that I know. I made that statement one time and it shook up some people. But the only ones that it shakes up is the ones that don't know it. If you're here today and you know that you've been saved, then thank God, just grab on, hallelujah, get ready for the ride and enjoy it. But if you're here this morning and you don't know you're saved, listen to every word that's said and pray that the God of heaven would convict your heart, that He would remove your blindness, and that He would save your wretched soul. I'm thankful this morning, thank God, I know first of all that I'm saved because, hallelujah, I'm saved by the Word of God. Oh yes, I'm saved by the Word of God. The Word of God is the starting place for testing every spiritual matter. Don't say, "What do you think about it, brother?" Say, "What does God say about it?" Don't come to the place that you think you've got it made. You say, "What did God do?" I believe it's very interesting when we look in the Word of God that whatsoever God makes, He moves on. And whatever He moves on, He manifests Himself in. That's how we can know that it's God. And God will never, no never, no never, no never go against His precious book. I know I'm saved this morning because of the Word of God. Oh yes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have eternal life, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I love that classic verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 10. I know it's talking to the Jew. I know, but praise be unto God, the application is there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God in Psalms 145 we have the commentary on that verse. Not just calling upon Him, but He tells us in the Psalms that if you call upon Him in truth. What is that truth? They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. That is with the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. And the truth of the matter is that I'm lost and undone and on my way to hell. I can't do anything about it. But glory be unto God, He's already taken care of it. And so as we look into the precious Word of God, we can know that we've been born into the family of God. These conditions are too clearly stated to be misunderstood. I've met those conditions. Now I'm telling you about what I know. And I hope to God you'll leave here today. And maybe you can get on board with that. But I know I'm saved by the Word of God. So therefore I take a firm stand on God's eternal Word, knowing that God cannot lie. Question, have you met that condition? Listen, you can't be saved if you don't believe you have the Word of God. You've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to believe the inspired, God-breathed Word. You've got to believe that. Did you hear His Word? Did you believe on Him? Did you call upon the name of the Lord? Well, preacher, how do you call upon the name of the Lord? Listen very carefully. This is real deep in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and everything else. How do I call upon Him? How do I call on Him? Lord, save me. That's what you have to do. God knows we've made it so complex in our day. Preachers are the world's worst. I know yours is not. But I know some preachers unto God, they make it hard.
They get up there and they try to impress people. God knows, you know, that drops when I get out of my seat. I can't impress nobody. But preachers try to get up and to try to use words that you'd have to have a dictionary to look up, and you couldn't spell it. That's when you couldn't find it by the time he was through. Don't even know what the first letter starts with. But I'm glad it's a simple plan of salvation. I'm glad it's the simplicity of the gospel. The simple thing is, Lord, save me. Glory be unto God. I'm thankful this morning that He'll do exactly what He said. He's convicted me. He's done a work in my heart. He's enlightened me, and I repent. When He works that repentance in me, and I call out to Him, then praise God according to His Word. That's what He said He would do. Amen. I know I'm saved because of the Word of God. I know I'm saved. But preacher, I've always been a Christian. I was born into a Christian home. Answer, God has no grandchildren. You being born into a Christian home won't get you to heaven. You being born again gets you to heaven. Now, I had a man one time sitting on the front pew of my church. He's no longer there, but years ago, I sat on the front pew of my church, and I was preaching about, I prayed for my children that God would save them, and I prayed, had a burden for them, and prayed God would get a hold to them, and I'm praying for my grandchildren that God will save them, because I know it's a work of God. Well, he turned around and looked at my wife, and he says, why is the preacher so upset about his children? Don't they know they automatically in because they're in his house? Diane looked, and she says, no, they're not. It's amazing how many idiots are out there. It's amazing how many fools that we have to deal with in the ministry. That's a foolish thing. Unto God, child, it is an individual thing. You're not going to heaven on daddy's coattail. You're not going to heaven on mama's faith. You go to heaven because of the Word of God. And you as an individual cried out to the God of heaven and got saved. I also say this. God ain't in the dehorning business. God's in the saving business. But He will save you if you come on His conditions. I was Christian as a baby. I don't know where that junk started. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't in the Bible. I had someone come to me not long ago, and they said, we want you to Christian that baby. I said, I won't do it. I said, I'll dedicate her to the Lord. I want you to baptize my baby. How in the name of God's heaven can a baby realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed His precious blood, was put in that tomb, and on the third day rose? That's what baptism is all about. Not to get you saved or confirm you're saved. It is, thank God, letting people know that you believe what salvation is. It's out the Lord, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That won't get you in evil. You must be born again. Secondly, I know I'm saved by the Word of God, but I know I'm saved by the witness of the Spirit. Oh, the witness of man is great, but the witness of God is greater. I have people, Brother Ken, that want me to try to give them assurance. I'll give them the Word of God, and I can't give you assurance. I'm not giving you assurance this morning. I'm just assuring you, glory be unto God, that His Word will not return void. And I'm showing you that if you examine yourself and make your callings and election sure, that'll be what we call the blessed Holy Ghost, the blessed Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Thank God it's down deep in your soul and confirming. If you're here this morning and you're saved, then what I've said to you so far, you've been saying amen. 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 That's so. Yes, that's right. You didn't get that on your own, bless God. I want you to know it's the Holy Ghost confirming that the truth is right. The Holy Spirit. We have the witness in our heart and the Word in our hand. Thank God for the witness. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Boy, there's people in this church under God. First time I met you, it's like I've been knowing you all my life. Oh, God just hooked us up, my brother. And God just brought us together. And God, and it's no stealing sheep. God knows we're 4.5 hours apart, so I can say this and not have to worry about a thing. Be an awful long ride for you to come to Calvary Baptist Church on Sunday morning. But I'm saying we don't have to worry about that junk. We don't have to worry about doing that. Praise be unto God. Why? Just because you sat under a different pastor. Just because you got one of the greatest pastors in this world that preaches to you week after week. That does not mean that we can't be fellowshipping and we cannot have friendship and that we can't be hooked up. Why? Because because we're in the same family. We're in the same family. If you've been birthed into the family of God, and that's what it is, a birth, then praise God, you're in the family. You're in the family. The Holy Spirit was sent to bear witness to Christ. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 John 3:24, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, and when He is present, He'll make His presence known. I'm thankful this morning, praise be unto God, that there's no mistaking it. There's no misunderstanding it. When this blessed book comes alive to you, and the Holy Ghost confirms it in your soul, then praise God, there's a witness on the deep down side. When all hell comes against you, in the deepest valley that you'll ever walk through, in the understanding that you do not have, there's still a witness on the inside that you belong to Him. There's still a witness on the inside, although you don't have the answers. Thank God He is the answer. I'm thankful this morning for the witness of the Spirit of God. There's a negative side to this. Romans 8:9, if a man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's about as simple as it gets. Matter of fact, I found most of this book is simple. What's not simple about it? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. That's about as simple as you get it. What's so complex about it? He that hath not the Spirit don't have life. You see, before you were saved, you were what we call a dichotomy. Your soul and body. Your spirit was dead. See, soul is what I communicate to you and you communicate to me. Spirit is what I communicate to God and God communicates to me. So that's the reason people that do not have the Spirit of God in them, my brother, are lost and undone without God. He has quickened us, made us alive unto God. And so the day that God saved this miserable wretch, the day that this drunk quit crawling in his vomit, the day, thank God, that this wretched sinner come to the saving knowledge of the divine Son of God, thanks be unto God when He done that work. He came into me and quickened me. I'm not going to argue with you about what comes first, repentance or salvation. Bless God, you can't get saved until you repent, and you can't repent until you get saved. You figure that out. But I'm glad, praise be unto God, that He came in and He saved my wretched soul. And He quickened me and He made me alive. Instead of saying, now lay me down to sleep, I pray my Lord my soul to keep. Now I said, oh God, thank you, dear God, that I can approach the throne of grace boldly. Thank you that I can bring every burden. Thank you that I can bring everything to you because you've done that for me, which no one else can. I have throne rights. The only right a sinner has is to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This book's written to save people by the witness of the Spirit. Thirdly, skipping over stuff now. Thirdly, I know I'm saved not only by the Word of God and by the witness of the Spirit, but by the warmth in my heart. You looking at a vile, wretched, low-down, good-for-nothing reprobate before God came on the scene. I knew what it was to hate. I was a sorry rascal. But something happened. I went to that meeting with the devil, but I left with the Lord. God saved me, quickened me. I believe His Word. The witnessing spirit came into me and He made me alive. And now, thank God, I can look at Him and it's a trilogy. This body still waiting to be redeemed. But according to Romans chapter 8, we're already there. So hand in the name of God's heaven. If God says we're already there and already glorified in His mind, can you ever be lost? If you've been redeemed by the grace of God, you belong to Him. You should have some assurance in your heart that the Spirit of God is in you and a love, thank God. Somebody says, well, we are not saved by feelings. True, but it sure does feel good to be saved. How would you like to go to a place this morning? You go in, you usher down the aisle, you cannot even belch, much less say amen. How would you like to go to a place you went with somebody with their collar on backwards, and that indicates to me, and the blessed Holy Ghost gave me this. Who in the name of God's heaven would want to listen to a man that don't know what he's coming or going? How would you like to go in a place this morning where Jesus is not lifted up? How would you like to go in a place this morning where you're not told the truth? How would you like to go in a place this morning, sit on a pew for 15 minutes and want to be entertained instead of the blessed Holy Ghost overshadowing you and doing a work in your heart and doing that which no one else can do for you? You better thank God and go home today when you leave this building that you've got a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching preacher and a Bible-believing church that loves God and will do what you have to do. I'm saying this morning, thanks be unto God, it's well worth the trip. First John chapter 3 and verse 14, here's that word. We know. I'm preaching on you how I know I'm saved. We know we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Now, you may not understand this, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's a lot of people I don't like. But I've got to love everybody. But God shed abroad His love in our hearts, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Odd. The day that He saved me. Before the foundation of... Don't get nervous. Before the foundation of this world. Praise be unto God. My name was written in the book of life. And when the day that God saved me, thank God it was sealed unto the day of redemption to whip the body. Thank God there's a day coming when this body is going to lay down. It's going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be with Him. Can you imagine, Brother Mike, what it'll be with no heartache, with no headache, with no footache, with no leg ache, with no backache, with no diarrhea? Could you imagine what it'll be? Praise be unto God to have a glorified body and to be straight with Him forevermore. Dear God, I used to bounce out of the bed early in the morning and says, praise God, this is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. I know that's talking about Calvary, but I use it and apply it to every day that God's given me. He made this one too. And I'd jump out, boy, and I'd get up. I'd do me a little study and do a little praying. Boy, get everything was going good. Didn't hear a bone pop. But it ain't been too many years ago that it started. One morning I tried to jump like I used to, and the jump was not there. Something had happened to that spry little step. I could not raise this leg as high as I used to. Dear God, it used to be that it would want nothing for me to walk across those pews and never touch one of y'all. Come back down this side, come back to this pulpit and have a time. I wouldn't attempt it now unless the Holy Ghost arrested me, picked me up and carried me and got me out of this body. But I'm going to tell you this morning, praise be unto God, there's a day coming when my eyes will not grow dim. There's a day coming when I'll not have to use glasses. There's a day coming when I'll not have to take Tylenol. There's a day coming when I'll not have to have Excedrin. There's a day coming when I'll not have to go to the God-robbing doctors. There's a day coming when, thanks be unto God, I'll not have to worry about any sickness. Why? I'm saved. I said I'm saved. Thanks be unto God, saved. I know I am. I'm saved, thank God, because the love God's put in my heart. Nothing so warms the heart as love, and there's no warmer love in all the universe than the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. There's also a negative side to this. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness, even until now. Some people are meaner in their religion than others are in their sins. You know the worst person in the world to deal with is a dissatisfied church member that's lost. Your religion may be good enough for you to live by, but it sure is not good enough for you to die by. I'm going to say this again. If you can't say this morning, I know that I'm saved, now I start examining myself. And you notice he said, examine yourself. But you can't take it out of context. How am I going to examine myself? He will convict you. He will guide you. He will goad you. He will prick you in your heart. He will lay upon you if you're His or not. And the witness of this preacher is good, but the witness of God is greater. It makes no difference what somebody says to you. If they can shake your salvation, you better examine yourself. Yes, sir. I know I'm saved by the joy. Woo! 2/5 of liquor and 1/4 of wine couldn't make me feel like I feel right now. Joy, joy, joy. Down deep in my heart. I almost sung this morning. It was requested that I not. I was going to learn that song. I know. There's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm going to shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Not long ago, at an old-fashioned altar, I knelt there to my sins to pray, or whatever it goes. But I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that He come on the scene, that He convicted my heart, and that He drew me unto Himself, and He warmed my soul on His side. Joy. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, lest this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, oh my soul! And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well! It is well! It is well with my soul! Saying, guess I could change the title. It is well with my soul. Why? I'm assured by His Word. I'm assured by the witness of the Spirit. I'm assured by the warmth of my heart. And I'm assured by the way of my life. I'll just mention this. I won't hold you much longer. By the way of my life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm thankful this morning, glory be unto God, that I'm a changed creature. Not in myself, but what He's done for me. He's come in, and because of that, the way of my life has changed. He gave me a new conversation. Thanks be unto God. Now I talk with the Lord, and the Lord talks with me. Now Now thanks be unto God. It's not a cuss word, every other word that comes out of my mouth. Now thank God I've been cleansed and set free, and praise His holy name. That warmth in my heart and in my soul shows me a new way that I walk with Him. He gave me a new calmness of heart. I love this verse, these verses of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Oh, you're right. What a Savior. What a God. What a Jesus. What a Holy Ghost. Praise be unto God. I've trusted Him. I delight in His will. Praise His holy name. I desire to please Him. I don't always do it. I disappoint Him, I know. But my desire is to please my blessed Lord. I cried this morning, begged God early this morning. Please, dear God, show, manifest yourself. I know I don't have to ask you to show up because you're with me. You're going to be there. But dear God, I'm asking you to manifest yourself. I'm asking you this morning to do a work in that congregation, in this preacher's heart. Help me to realize I don't even come up to a zero in a zero. Help me to realize I am absolutely nothing but everything in Thee. May I represent your country. May I represent my Christ. May I represent the men that stand true all over this country and say there's still 7,000 that have not bared that knee to Baal. May we still cry out aloud that the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. May we still say the way of the cross leads home. May we say this morning, glory to be unto God. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we belong to God and we are in His family. I know I'm saved, fifthly, by the willingness of my spirit. Oh, dear God. God broke my will. Dear God. Not my will, but Thine be done. I had a young lady come to me one time and she said, God has promised me the desires of my heart. Boy, she was real spiritual. And I said, yo, sure He has. I said, but read the rest of it. Read the rest of it. You'll have to have a desire that ain't according to His will. But I do believe this, and you can hang me out to dry after this, but don't correct me now. But I do believe this. I believe if you're right with God, your will is going to be His will. I believe if the Holy Ghost is operating in you, you're not going to have no off-the-wall decisions. You're not going to have any off-the-wall, off-colored, discolored decisions that you make. If you line it up with this book and go according to this book and the Holy Ghost leads you and guides you, and you say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, listen to me very carefully. This is deep. It took me 38 years to learn this. This is real deep. Don't you miss what I'm going to say. I don't know what to do, preacher. Don't do nothing. Well, I got to do something. No, you don't. That's when you get in trouble because flesh takes over. And boy, you go against God and you go against this book and you go against the clear teaching of the Word of God. If you're really saved and you really know Him, then you will wait, I say, on the Lord. And the hardest thing that you will ever do, I don't care how many years you've been saved, I don't care how deep you are in this book, I don't care how much you know your Bible, the hardest thing you will ever learn, and you will learn it till you go to your grave, is to wait on God. But could I tell you something? He that waits on God shall never be late. I know I'm saved. Thank God, by the Word of God, by the witness of the Spirit, by the warmth of my heart, by the way of my life, by the willingness of my spirit, and by the warfare that goes on in my soul. That's a battle. It's not a glory road. You're on the glory road, but it's not a glory road. It's a battle. Some of the biggest battles you will ever have will be as a child of God. We've overcome. 1 John 5. We overcome us. We've overcome the world. We've overcome the wicked one. We've overcome in our sinful way. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're not filled with the Spirit, and you're not walking with God, and you're not doing what pleases Him, then buddy, you can get in an awful state. Paul says, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I to do it, but sin, sinful nature, that dwelleth in me. And he goes on a little bit. And after he talks about that, he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin in my members. The flesh, Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That was old Navajo Indian. Indian is what goes in the closet. But that's an old Navajo Indian. Missionary went to him, led him to God. Boy, he said, me like him. Feel good. Me like him. Missionary went on, and he dropped a $10 bill. Well, that old Navajo said, man, God good. He picked it up and didn't say anything about it and put it in his pocket. Went on about his business. Missionary came back to see him 2 or 3 days later. He called his name and he says, how you doing? He said, not good. He said, what's the problem? He said, 2 men in my heart. 1 good man and 1 bad man. They quarrel all night, all day long. I get no sleep. Hell, you take them money. Simple, but what a wallop. I was at the bank a few years back, going through a hard time. Signed my check and wrote it in. And one of the few times I got a little money back, and I told the girl, I said, just give me this. And I was going to get $30 back. Boy, I was going to take my family out to a big steakhouse, and we were going to a 5-star motel. And boy, we was just going to have a time. We was going to ride by. I didn't say we was going to eat or sleep. We was going to have... She handed it back in that little envelope. You know how they do. They hand it back in. And the Holy Ghost said, look in that envelope. I peeled it open. I said, dear God, 1, 2, 3. $100 bills. First thing I thought was that old nature said, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Oh, I was shouting, but in one side of my mind, the other side was just giving me a fit. I pulled out, and here's my hand to God. Brother David, I was thinking going back to the house and shouting that until dying, look what God gave me. Now you may not believe this, but son, I got in that driveway and my wheel automatically turned. I went right back around that bank, pulled up that window, threw it back in. I said, take this money, young lady, before God kills me. She looked at me and she said, what? I said, I wanted $30 back. She said, 3-0 to 2. I said, you gave me 3 $100 bills. I said, that wasn't what I was supposed to get back. She looked and she started tears coming out of her eyes. She said, oh, preacher, thank you. Thank you so much. She said, I don't know who would have done this. I said, I'm going to tell you something. God had to beat the devil out of me. I wouldn't be doing it. But she said, if you'd have took us money, I'd have never known where it was at. And I'd have had to make it up this afternoon. That's my God. That brings me to the last point, and I'll just mention my preaching. I know if he held you long. I know I'm saved by the whippings I get when I disobey God. I've said that to bring it into this. God whipped me even at one instantaneous thing. God will warn you. God will whip you. And if you don't listen to God, He will withdraw His presence from you. And then, if you continue on in that disobedience, God will withdraw you out of this world. I read it to you in this book. There's a sin unto death. That's talking to saved people. And He says you better not even pray for it. Why? When you cross that line, you've had it. Let me give you this quick. Four great results of God's chastening. Hebrews chapter 12, you read it when you get home. Verse 6 through the remainder of that chapter. In verse 6, when God chastens us, it proves our sonship. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you with sons, for with son is whom the Father chasteneth not. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all sons are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I didn't say that. God did. Second thing, it not only proves our sonship, it preserves our safety. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? The third thing that it does, it not only proves our sonship, verse 6 of Hebrews 12. It not only preserves our safety, verse 9 of Hebrews 12. But verse 10 tells us it profits us spiritually. For they, the fathers of our flesh, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Fourth thing, it not only proves our sonship, verse 6. Preserves our safety, verse 9. Profits us spiritually, verse 10. But verse 11, it produces sanctified fruit. For now no chastening is for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I conclude with this. I know I'm saved by the Word of God, by the witness of the Spirit, by the warmth of my heart, by the way of my life, by the willingness of my spirit, by the warfare in my soul, by the whippings I get when I disobey. 1 John 5:13, I know I'm saved. You better know it. 2 Corinthians 13:5, make sure, examine yourself. 2 Timothy 1:12, be persuaded that God's keeping you. 2 Peter 1:10, be put in mind of. Examine yourself. This is how I know I've made my callings and elections sure. I hope to God this morning that I've been some help to somebody. And if you're here today, and you have any doubt whatsoever in your heart or in your soul, I pray that you'll get it squared away before you leave here. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're saved, then praise be unto God. Beg God to convict you. Beg Him to open up your eyes and understanding and enlightenment. I'm going to have a word of prayer. We'll let your pastor give the invitation, and you do what God tells you to do. Father, I thank You for the Word of God that's forever settled. Thank You, my dear sweet Lord, for the witness of the Spirit. Thank You for the way that my life has changed. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for whipping me when I do wrong. How I love You for that. My heart goes out this morning for that child of God that may be here that's legitimately saved. They've been birthed into the family of God, but because of some reason they've strayed, some reason, Lord, it's been a damper put on things, some reason they're not trusting You like they should. I pray that You'd remove that doubt by them filling it up with the Word of God. I pray, dear God, that You'd move in as only You can. That child of God that's sure this morning, may we all thank You afresh and anew. And take heed that we'll not fall. Pride cometh before destruction. We're not boasting in ourselves today. We're boasting in You. Thank You for the finished work of Calvary. For His blood, in Jesus' bloodstained name. Pastor.